since we've last seen you last. You took a trip to Washington, D.C., representing rural America.
Rural American cities.
Cities. Uh-huh. Fascinating.
It was.
Especially with reports now coming out that a lot of the population is starting to move toward urban areas. Mm-hmm. What were the major points that you were there to talk about?
Actually, my reason for going, and this was the national organization that is all about community development agencies that come together annually. They had three different tracks, and they wanted to talk about what kinds of innovative things are happening in communities throughout the United States that potentially lead to a better economic state for the region that they're in. And my purpose in being there was to talk about how it's a little bit different when you're a small rural community. And what is the chance as we continue on in the 21st century of the survival of those of us who are in small rural communities? And as you mentioned early in the beginning here, it's just many people are gravitating to larger metropolitan areas for a variety of reasons. But when I asked the group, it was about 200 people that I was speaking with, how many of them either lived or grew up in small rural communities, more than 50% of the people had that experience, either as part of their past or as where they are right now. So I think that there are still a great many of us who either have memories of or have that as our reality. And it's kind of frightening to think that we're going to be losing part of that population as the years go by.
So you were one of the featured speakers.
I did a plenary session.
Okay.
And we started off, actually it was a panel, and it was the first day of the conference. The thing that was interesting about it is that we arrived on a Sunday in Washington, D.C., and that night they had 7.5 inches of snow. So Monday, the day of the conference, federal government was shut down completely. All the schools were closed. Transportation was very, very, very difficult to find, let alone for folks to get around. And it was fortunate that many of the people who had come in nationally for this conference were already in place. And the conference was at the hotel that we were mostly staying at. So we lost some of our local folks for the first few sessions that day. But it was at the beginning, and it was to talk about innovative programming again and again, to give the rural perspective on how it's different from what was happening. And the other speakers were from New Hampshire, the greater Washington, D.C. area, and Michigan.
What did you get from it?
What did I get? I think I got the fact that we have a lot of people out there in these state agencies that are trying to make a difference, and they're grappling with decreasing federal dollars and decreasing state dollars as a result, to be able to do some innovative things in terms of grants and allocations to try and help bridge the gap between what resources communities have to perform their daily business to really making some substantive changes that can alter the course of history, if you will, for communities along the way. So I think what I got out of it is that there are a whole dedicated group of people out there who are trying to help, searching for ways to help, and it really is a time of tumult to figure out what do you do with less. And I think the federal government's feeling it, state government is, and again, most certainly those of us who are living the reality. And I think from the folks who were there, the feedback I got, it was good to have someone who's trying to actually deal with those other issues too, not just the ability to write for grants and to receive grants, but to worry about how we keep police and fire fires on the road. How do we take care of potholes? How do we keep our utilities moving? How do we have park and rec systems? And balancing all of that, I think. So it was a good opportunity to interface from both directions.
Where did you find that perhaps Greencastle lies with other cities of the similar size across the nation?
You know, I think at the end of the day, as I thought about it, there are some things that we're very fortunate as a result of. We're very fortunate that we're located where we are in the state. We're very fortunate for the economic well-being we've had since 2008, and most certainly I have to include the Stellar Grant in that. And the third thing is we've been lucky. And I think there's a lot of luck that comes along the way. The right people at the right time, the state starting the Stellar program and us being a front-end recipient on that. I think there's just a lot of luck that makes us a little bit different. I think most certainly for Greencastle, the fact that we are a college community is a decided difference. We're having DePauw University here, having the Ivy Tech Community College campus here, for a community of 10,000, that's pretty different. from the demographics many are seeing. So I think it's, you know, all of those things that help make us a bit different and hopefully successful at the end of the day.
Well, now that the legislative session is over, a lot that we've talked about seemed to be the business personal property tax. Mm-hmm. It passed, but it wasn't the worst case scenario.
No, it wasn't the worst case scenario, but I think if you speak to any mayor in Indiana, we just really have a strong feeling it's going to be revisited again. And the legislation that was promulgated, the compromise that was promulgated at the, you know, if you have 20% of personal property tax, then you're exempt from paying taxes on that, and you leave a local option open to the county, local county option income tax board to make those decisions. You've got a few things that are difficult about that. One is that that initiation of that law really doesn't take effect until July of 2015. So those of us who are sitting in my chair think you've got another legislative session that's going to come through. One of the stumbling blocks in getting greater personal property tax passed was the ability to get money back to communities. And that's certainly what the governor heard from mayors. I mean, you've got to be able to replace. You can't just take away. So in a budget biennium, it gives a little more flexibility. So I think the discussion's going to come back, and that's why it's a July deadline for next year for those kinds of things. But I also really truly believe that, again, it's the beginning of what we're going to have to continue to struggle with. And we have to have the revenue to do those things that people expect and that they want to have in their communities. And without those revenue sources, we can't do it. It's a modest impact this year, absolutely, if it's initiated, it is. But you also have situations where that county board represents a wide variety of folks within that county. In the case of Putnam County, where we are, Greencastle is the only incorporated city in that. So what it means to us versus what it means to someone in a more rural setting isn't quite the same thing. So there's a lot to be weighed, and it also pits region against region. And that's something we've tried to get away from in recent years, that we, if we work together, that's our strength in terms of economic development. And this, again, pits community against community.
Any other disappointments or successes in a legislative session this year that kind of stick out in your mind?
That stick out? Yeah. I think, you know, the things that we talk about a lot are the things that are going to affect us. And most certainly the continuing discernment on TIF legislation is something that we worry about. What was, again, this year put forth is that 1995 TIFs, unless there's something bonded against that, a bond outstanding on that TIF, are scheduled to go away. Most certainly they weren't when they were initiated, and we have a 95 TIF, which is a major TIF area that we have in our industrial zone. And we don't want to see that go away because it does help make some significant infrastructure improvements for us. And it does have a dramatic impact on economic development. So that's a concern. And what does that mean? It means that instead of it coming to an end if it's not bonded against in July of 2014, it's now July of 2015. So we're probably going to be looking very seriously at a bond issue to get a project finished that we have, you know, just said, okay, when we have the money set aside, we'll do it, because we've been a pay-as-you-go TIF area for a long time, and our Redevelopment Commission has held to that practice. But this could push us in a little bit different direction so that we ensure our ability to collect on that TIF.
Another common theme I see with many of the cities we go to is parking, and that came up again in the news here lately about some revisions in your purchasing of a parking lot downtown.
Well, we were going, part of our original Stellar grant was to build a parking structure, and that parking structure came over bid twice, and so we went back to the design table and said, okay, we're going to have to do surface lots because we still have the problem and the issue. We secured our second lot. We had purchased one for the parking garage. We still have that. We have a design for that as a 52-space parking lot, and we also have now purchased another lot from our local Moose Lodge, which is going to give us 46 more spaces. So what we're going to be able to do is we're going to be able to see a dramatic improvement in what's available. We've just resubmitted to Indiana Housing and Community Development Authority, which is our funding agent, hopefully, on that project, and we're waiting to hear from them as to whether or not they will accept it as a modification in our original grant or whether we need to go in front of their full board again and present. So we should know that before the end of April, and if that has indeed and hopefully will be approved, then we can go out to construction and be working in conjunction with some of our streetscaping projects to get that parking issue taken care of. And again, parking is only as good as the use that people make of that space. So I'm going to be going to council with some major changes in our parking ordinance to try and strongly encourage and give a good shove to people who are actually continuing to park and move their vehicles every 2 hours on the Courthouse Square.
I also heard the bids for the splash park came in a little high.
They did.
So where is that now?
They did. We took a resolution. It didn't have to be a resolution. We took a proposal to the City Council to use rainy day funds to help cover that overage. And I'm happy to say that the council felt it was a really important addition to our aquatic center and to the main central park in the community. And we don't make a regular habit of using rainy day funds, but they did set aside up to $110,000 for overages if they should, and however much of that we use is there and ready. We had our pre-con meeting yesterday, so it's moving forward. Our goal is still to have it open by July the 4th, and sunny days will help us get that done. So
I think they're on the way.
I hope so.
Today feels a lot
finally
better.
I hope so.
Indiana's February unemployment rate overall improved, but did see Putnam County falling to one of the 13th worst in the state for February. Mm-hmm. Is this just kind of part of that ebb and flow?
It's definitely part of the ebb and flow. We were down at 6 point something the month before. And the thing I had not realized, I knew that those were determined by a mathematical formula based on some interviews of random households within the state. But I didn't know until I read the Star on Sunday when they were talking about that it's 1,000 households in the state of Indiana who help determine what Putnam County's unemployment rate is and what Marion County's unemployment rate in the state unemployment rate. So nothing major has happened to Putnam County to cause a 1.7% change in our unemployment rate in a month. I think it's, again, the luck of who got called and how it fit into the formula, and we got the short end of the stick this time.
Education always kind of go into job and job growth. Mm-hmm. We talked about Ivy Tech a couple months ago.
Yes.
And then I just read that the Area 30 Career Center, mm-hmm, offering a new program in high-tech manufacturing. And I'm sure that's good news as well that will hopefully add to the economy.
It's wonderful news. I think one of the issues that we have is encouraging our young people to continue to persevere in sciences and math and understand how important that knowledge base is to whatever career they enter into along the way. And most certainly Area 30, who pulls from 5 different school corporations, both the 4 in Putnam County and the Eminent School Corporation, do a wonderful job of expanding horizons and helping our young people know what kind of jobs are available here in the local economy, what you need to have in your repertoire and your tool bag in order to be able to get into those jobs. And going to be working in conjunction with the Development Center and Area 30 and the different community schools to actually take our students into some of our local manufacturing venues so they can see what it really looks like to be part of that right now and what the benefits are and what the salaries are and what you need to be successful. Because most certainly manufacturing has changed precipitously in the last 5, 10, 20 years. And many folks just don't have an idea at all what happens behind some of the buildings that we have, fortunately, in our community.
I think last time I was here, we talked about a major road construction that's going to start in April, and it is April.
It is April.
I thought maybe it'd be good for our listeners and viewers,
sure,
for a quick update on that road construction and what they should be on the lookout for.
Wow. We had our pre-construction meeting this morning, as a matter of fact, and we wanted to meet, and the Reith Riley is the contractor on this project. It's a major road reconstruction on Indiana Street, which is a connector between our downtown and the university. and again, part of our stellar projects. And so what that's going to mean is on April the 14th, they're going to begin up on Seminary Street and move towards Washington Street. That's a segment that's going to be worked on. And they're hoping for substantial completion by the middle of August, if not before, and then final inspection has to be completed and all the paperwork turned in October. But we did meet this morning. We did talk about obstacles in the way. And the biggest one is our fire department, which is right on Indiana Street. And how are we going to keep fire protection viable during that period of time? And what are the special considerations that both the contractor has to make and the city has to make in order to keep our citizens safe? So it's a major reconstruction project. So it's sidewalks and it's new lighting and it's trees and it's, we're going to do a little bit of expanding outdoor space along Indiana Street also. So our major hurdles are going to be the fire department, how we're going to get trash picked up at Starbucks. Yeah, we've got some concerns with that, but April 14th will be the beginning of that construction piece.